Good afternoon, everyone. It is July 17th, 2012. The time is 3:07 p.m. Eastern Time. Welcome to another News in Focus program. Bill, we've got an article here. Actually, we have two articles. Neither one of them contain content that we really want to talk about. But when you think about where we're at, Berean Baptist Church, Fayetteville, North Carolina, co-located, Bill, with Fort Bragg, which contains the largest army populace of any fort, base, post in the United States. Tell us the article, Bill.
The article comes from the Huffington Post. We're well acquainted with that. Military suicide rate surges to nearly one per day this year, and this was posted on June 7th. And at that point, we were over one a day, actually, almost one a day. And by the, if you will look at the post that we've, the URL that we've included with the sermon audio commentary, you'll see that there is a video available that said by the time the video was posted, it was 159 suicides, I think, in 157 days, if memory serves.
Bill, the article says that more troops are dying of suicide than in Afghanistan.
Sounds like we have a battle on this side of the water that we need to be taking care of.
I'm also looking at an article that was emailed to me, Bill, and it hasn't even been released yet. It won't be released until July 23rd, and it'll be published in the In Time magazine. And it also addresses suicides. Bill, you've read the article. It's packed full of three stories, and you can't hardly read the article without tearing up. The author does a great job of personalizing it.
Yeah, very good writing. I talk about, first of all, an Army doctor and a Marine Apache pilot, and what's the third one?
And then an additional person that committed suicide.
Right.
Secretary of the Army Panetta says here that this issue, suicides, is perhaps the most... Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta said, this issue, suicides, is perhaps the most frustrating challenge that I've come across since becoming Secretary of Defense. Leon Panetta said June 22nd, the U.S. military seldom meets an enemy it cannot target, cannot crush, cannot put a fence around or drive a tank across, but it has not been able to defeat or contain the epidemic of suicides among its troops, even as the wars wind down and the evidence mounts that the problem has become dire. While veterans account for about 10% of U.S. adults, they account for 20% of U.S. suicides. Well-trained, highly disciplined, bonded to their comrades, soldiers used to be less likely than civilians to kill themselves, but not anymore. The article goes on to say, Bill, more U.S. military have died by suicide since the war in Afghanistan began than have died fighting there. The rate jumped 80% from 2004 to 2008, and while it had leveled off in 2010-11, it has soared 18% this year. Suicide has passed road accidents as the leading non-combat cause of death among U.S. troops. While it's hard to come by historical data on military suicides, the Army has been keeping suicide statistics only since the early 1980s. There's no denying that the current numbers constitute a crisis.
Let's talk about that one statement there where it says more U.S. military personnel have died by suicide since the war in Afghanistan began than have died fighting there. Now, this war in Afghanistan started before the war in Iraq in the latter part of 2001. You know, can you imagine the response from the American people if this made the news every time it happened, just like you might see, a ticker at the bottom of the screen, six died in roadside blast. What would happen if they started doing that with each suicide that occurred?
Every single time a suicide occurred,
yeah.
There was a Fox News alert. There was a CNBC News alert every time. It would really awake the U.S. population to the problem.
Sure.
The article goes on from Time Magazine to say, but combat trauma alone can't account for the trend. Nearly a third of suicides from 2005 to 2010 were among troops who had never deployed. A third, Bill, a third have never deployed. So we're not dealing exclusively with trauma inflicted or occurring because of a combat deployment. 43% had deployed only once. Only 8.5% had deployed three or four times. Enlisted service members are more likely to kill themselves than officers, and 18 to 24-year-olds more likely than older troops. Two-thirds do it by gunshot. One in five hangs himself, and it's almost always him.
Yeah.
Nearly 95% of the cases are male, and, Bill, a majority are married.
Well, we should point out that we want to just reemphasize that it is not necessarily the deployment. It is not necessarily the operational tempo. That's important because while they were looking for who to blame 3-4 years ago, it was the 82nd, 101st people that had to go 3 and 4 and 5 times to the same theater of operations. And that's just simply not the case. We're not seeing that it is just people who have deployed multiple times. And then over in the Reserve and National Guard world, it was you're leaving the Army after 16 months on orders, 18 months, and you're coming home to maybe joblessness or a stigma in your employment that says he's only here temporarily. But that's not the issue either. That's not a majority of the cases either. And now, let's talk about that 95% of cases being male. I do want to point out that Army studies show that the majority of attempts per capita are female. The number of attempts per capita are female. They have them far outdone. It's almost 2-to-1. The number of per capita attempts are female. But men are much more successful at carrying out suicide because they, by and large, use a more lethal means of doing so.
Hmm. You know, I'm just pausing. I'm just taking this in, Bill, as we discuss this. The Time magazine goes on and says, no program, outreach, or initiative has worked against the surge in Army suicides, and no one knows why nothing works. The Pentagon allocates about $2 billion, nearly 4% of its $53 billion annual medical bill to mental health. That simply isn't enough money, says Peter
Chiarelli, maybe?
Chiarelli, who recently retired as the Army's second in command. And those who seek help are often treated too briefly. Bill, the reason nothing's working is because the Army has been handcuffed in its ability to present what will work.
That's right. From the perspective that I have, which is about the only one I can present, of being an Army chaplain, a reservist, albeit an Army chaplain nonetheless, I can tell the listener that the two main programs for which the chaplain seemingly exists in the Army are strong bonds, relationship seminars, and suicide prevention. Both of them are touted. Now think about what I'm about to say. Both the strong bonds, relationship seminars, which are weekend retreats, free weekend retreats for soldiers to get away and receive instruction and refreshment on relationships, and the Commander's Suicide Prevention Programs, both of these programs, though the chaplain is the major proponent of both of these programs, both of these programs are touted first and foremost as being non-religious in nature. Now, what are you going to do when you take the religious subject matter experts of Army infantry units, Army transportation units, Army medical units, and tell them, now here's a program, and you cannot use religion to teach it?
Bill, if you read the Time magazine article, and I know you did, you see things like prescription drugs being administered, You see the word therapy being referenced. You see the word, there's a sentence here, let me find it here, that discusses 50%. But what makes preventing suicide so confounding is that even therapy often fails. Over 50% of soldiers who committed suicide in the 4 years that I was the vice chief had seen a behavioral health specialist. It was a common thing to hear about someone who had committed suicide who went in to see a behavioral health specialist and was dead within 24, 48, or 72 hours, and to hear he had a diagnosis that said, this individual is in known danger to himself or anyone else. That's when I realized that something's the matter. Well, of course it is, Bill.
Of course.
Think about it. What in the world could a behavioral health specialist say to someone that would have any magnitude, Bill, and any substantial oomph behind it, anything that would give you something to latch a hold of? Bill, let me use the word an anchor. What could a behavioral health specialist give you as an anchor point for life?
Nothing.
That's the very problem. The weapon that the Army has to combat this best, they cannot use.
That's right. And so you're faced with even the article here by Nancy Gibbs and Mark Thompson that you talked about not being released yet. It even talks about how the cure was a cause for which you could live that was larger than yourself. And now, with this 10-year war going, people are finding out that they're not sure they are involved with something that's bigger than themselves. So what do you have when you have a generation now? Now, if we're getting a generation of people, now remember, we just read that the largest age group that is at risk is the 18 to 24. Let's take something in the median of that. Let's take the 21-year-old. When the war in Afghanistan began, that soldier was 10 years old. They lived and breathed for something bigger. They might have needed college money. They might have needed a job. They might have been a failure at everything else they tried. They might have had a young family. But they have, since we read here that most of the suicide victims are people who are married. It could be any number of things. But one thing we know, they thought that they were getting involved with something that was much bigger than them. So we have disenfranchised generation of warriors out there who are not finding what they're looking for.
Yes, because they're looking, Bill, to the Army to fill a hole, a vacuum, something that creates something to live for, Bill. But the Army can't do that.
Certainly not. We're not made in the image of George Patton. We're not made in the image of Sun Tzu. We're made in the image of God, and we require His help.
But Bill, a therapist can't figure that out. There isn't a test that you can take. There isn't a drug that you can prescribe. There isn't a counseling therapy session that's going to fix that. Bill, God is the solution, and the Army is saying that there are multiple gods right now, that all gods are of value, that all faiths are valuable. Faith in faith, as long as you believe in something. Goodness, Bill, the Army is holding up Wicca as a legitimate... What is that?
Well, when I went to chaplain school in 2009 to check my Army box, in 2009, my chaplain basic officer leader course in Fort Jackson, South Carolina... We had a chaplain in our classes with a Buddhist wheel, you know. So you've got Buddhist and Muslim. You've got I share my position with, since we're over strength in the reserves in the Southeast, I share my position with a Jewish rabbi at my battalion, and it doesn't affect the way that I preach or how I reach out, because I have counted all things but loss to include my career if need be. But the Army is saying all of these are equally valid. And indeed, when it comes to the Constitution, if you look at it straightly from the perspective of an American with what we call rights, okay, they are equally as valid. But that does not take away the component of absolute truth. We are telling you have the right to be wrong in the Constitution, and we are doing that by putting a visible manifestation of your religion in front of you in the form of a chaplain. But what they're not saying is, however, comma, not all of the effects are one and the same by being an adherent to one or all or none of these religions. It's just like buying a Chevy or a Ford. Either one will get you to the destination desired.
Bill, I received an email, and I'll be real careful right here so that I don't reveal the identity of this person who emailed me. A soldier in one of the battalions killed himself this morning. This problem is real. Pray that I have wisdom to steer my unit through yet another and challenging phase. I'm pausing here. He says, the Army will never admit that the problem, that the answer to the problem is Jesus. And that's it. I mean, he includes a release from a PAO officer, and it says that there are three main points from the article, and the three main points, Bill, are just the statistics. All the Army's doing, Bill, is trying to look for indicators. That's all it is, too. Figured out that males do it more than females. Figured out this is between the age of 18 and 24. Figured out they're primarily... And just so that you can target it. But they're not doing anything to give somebody a reason to live.
Right. We want to blur the gender lines. We want to blur the roles that God has given. We want to blur the warrior instinct of men and the nurturing instinct of women. We want to blur everything and wonder why our warriors are so confused.
And why some of them, Bill, are so confused that they're ready to stop living.
So if you're ready to stop living and you come to a mental health specialist and you're wondering, maybe this will be the magic pill, and that man, though you might act like you're relieved, that man or that woman writes on there, he's not a danger to himself. That physician, that medical professional has just probably taken away your last hope of intervention.
You're saying because that person doesn't even realize?
Well, I'm saying because that patient who probably wanted to see the professional to begin with is now officially being declared not at risk.
Fine.
Yep.
Healthy.
You're good to go. Yep. And so he's communicating to that soldier's commander that if he continues to milk this apparent problem, he's a poor soldier, he or she.
And of course, that's a big, we read in the article, Bill, from the Time magazine. It's 9 pages long, folks. It's a cover story. We read that's the concern. Stigma is the concern. I mean, you do not promote people who have suicidal problems. You do not send them to tougher schools, Bill. You do not invest money in them. You separate them from the Army. So once again, as soon as I indicate that I'm struggling with life, I'm having failures here, get that guy out of here. He's a risk. He's a risk to our numbers. He's a risk to our statistical data. But we would say that is a soul created in the image of God. Christ died for you. Christ loves you. Christ created you. Christ has a purpose for your life. Serve Jesus. Fulfill that purpose. Look forward to an eternity with Jesus. Live for Jesus. What therapist can say that, Bill?
I don't know. I'm glad that we have some people in our church that are willing to say the hard thing in the rough circumstance in the Army. We have commanders, we have medical professionals, we have chaplains that are willing to stand for Jesus in a place where it is not friendly to do so. And we are seeing things happen for the Lord on a smaller scale.
And so we would reach out to you if you're a listener and you're in the Army, if you're in the Navy, if you're in the Coast Guard, if you're in the Air Force, and you know Jesus, share Jesus.
That's right. Count it as loss. Be more concerned about the souls of those around you than you are for that next OER bullet. Please. For the next NCOER bullet. Please. Be more concerned about the soul beside you, behind you, in front of you. Be more concerned about that than you are for making the next objective even.
We would say trust God for that promotion. We would want to encourage you right now. Trust God for that promotion. Trust God that He will provide. Trust God. I mean, Bill, a promotion versus you save somebody's life?
That's right. We're told in the Psalms, Psalm 73, I believe, that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but it is the Lord who sets up one and brings down another.
Comes from above.
That's right.
It comes from above. And so if you're a Christian soldier, a Christian airman, a Christian guardsman, a reservist, you have what the therapist does not have. You have what no pill will ever fix. You have a reason to live. You can give somebody purpose beyond what any program can ever offer to them. Bill, as we read both articles, one from the Huffington Post, one from Time Magazine, there is no solution presented in the articles.
No, it's basically to say, we're about to get nuked. Go to your basement. That's about the fix. What else can they say? If you're not allowed to present the cure, what else can you say?
Well, here's the problem, Bill. If you go back to and you acknowledge the fact that there's a God, that creates accountability, Bill.
Certainly.
What are you going to do? If you acknowledge, if the article acknowledges, let's not forget Time Magazine is the same magazine that just a few weeks ago declared that our current president is the first gay president, and they were ecstatic about that. So how are you going to reconcile these ideas, Bill? There is a God, yet there's no accountability. Well, you can't do that.
No.
The army is doing everything it can to walk away from God.
That's right.
Directives are being given to chaplains that they cannot pray in Jesus' name. Every effort is being made to be as inclusive as possible. Well, inclusive doesn't give you hope.
No.
It doesn't. It's not solid. It's liquidy. It's like holding Jell-O in your hand. These people need a rock. They need something solid to grab a hold of. And so, if you're a commander out there, you're a first sergeant out there, you're a platoon sergeant out there, you have within you that which the therapist doesn't have. And quite frankly, who cares if the army says you can't share? Now, wait a minute, Bill, hold on. We're commanded to obey those that are appointed over us.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
So then how do I reconcile what I just said?
With fear and trembling. And I don't say that just to be terse or bumper sticker-ish. The truth is, I am commanded to share the gospel, and I am commanded to do it with fear. We're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah, by faith, moved with fear to the saving of his house. There are some things you do out of a reverence for God, and one of them is you command all men everywhere to repent. Jude verse 22 says, and some have compassion, making a difference. But listen to that next verse. Then some you save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. If I'm pulling someone out of a burning building, the last thing I'm concerned about is whether or not my clothes meet the dress code. I want to make sure that I am meeting the objective. Eternity is too long, hell is too hot for me to care more about whether or not I'm in the proper setting for sharing the gospel than I am for the souls of men.
Bill, Acts chapter 4, Peter was commanded to stop preaching Jesus.
Yeah.
And it was a God-ordained authority that was commanding them to do that. From that perspective, that was a God-ordained. And Peter said, we got to choose to obey God rather than man.
Yeah. Yeah. And one chapter earlier, he said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know. So, and then we go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, whether it seems evil to you that we are not going to bow, you be the judge of that. And our God is able to deliver us from the burning fire, but if he doesn't, just know this, we're not going to bow to you, and we're not careful to answer you in this matter. Now, when it comes to whether or not I'm going to go the speed limit, I'm not going to argue about constitutionality. I'm going to go the speed limit. But when it comes to whether or not it is proper for me as an Army chaplain to share the gospel at a Christmas meal, I'm doing it. I'm doing it with the understanding it might be the last one I ever do. And it's not like I started yesterday. I have 12 years in this thing. So it's not without sacrifice. But we just got to be able to put this in God's hands.
If you're a born-again Christian and you wear a uniform, you have what no one else has. You have what the Muslim doesn't have. You have what the Jew doesn't have. You have what the atheist doesn't have. You have hope. You have rock-solid hope, and you are commanded to share that hope.